We turn in the Word of God to Romans chapter 13. Let us read verses 1 through 7. Simply verses 1 through 7, which will be the verses we consider in connection with Lord's Day 39. This is the Word of God in Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Thus far we read the Holy Scriptures. On the basis of this passage and the entirety of the Word of God, we take for our instruction Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which expounds to us the meaning of the fifth commandment. Question and answer 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, after some time we return to our catechism's explanation of the law of God, and we are eager to hear that law of God explained to us once again, because each of these commandments shows us a way in which we show love to our God. And we love our God. We love the God of our salvation. And it is the desire of our hearts to express that love to Him, to show that love to Him. And the law of God is a guide to gratitude and to a life of love toward God. Faith works by love, and faith delights, therefore, in the law of God. And thus this morning we come to the fifth commandment, which shows us that one of the important ways that we love our God is by honoring Jehovah's authority. Romans 13 is one of the outstanding passages in the Word of God dealing with authority. It speaks of the powers that be. And the powers that be spoken of in Romans 13 are authorities, those who are placed in authority over others. And Romans 13 instructs us about these authorities. It informs us that all authority is of God. All who are in a position of authority are placed there by God. And those who are under those authorities are called to submit themselves to those God has put in authority. Romans 13 is first of all about the civil government, the authority that God has vested in the state, power that the state has, which it is to use to uphold good order in society and to protect the citizens under its care. But the principles that we find in Romans 13 may be extended beyond the civil government and apply in many ways to every sphere of authority. Authority as it is found in the family, authority as it is found in the church, authority as it is found in the workplace. We are all living in different spheres of authority. And thus, this word of God is important to us. It's important to us because our sinful nature chafes at the idea of submitting to authority. And if we are in a position of authority, our sinful nature makes us prone to abuse that authority. And so we need this instruction from the Word of God, commanding us and teaching us how we are to submit to authority and how we are to exercise authority if we are in such a position. Let us consider the fifth commandment then, under the theme, fifth, honor Jehovah's authority. Notice in the first place, for those under authority. Secondly, for those in authority. And thirdly, the motivation for both of them. First of all, in the fifth commandment, God addresses those who are under authority. God has placed many of his people, in fact, all of his people, under certain authorities, certain persons or institutions that have authority. God's will, expressed in this commandment for those who are under authority, is that they honor that authority. Honor thy father and thy mother, the fifth commandment says. Authority is the right to rule over others in a certain sphere of life. For example, God puts parents in authority over their children. Parents are in a position of authority that gives them the right to make rules, to direct the lives of their children, to make decisions for their children, for their good. But authority also involves the right to make rules and to enforce those rules, and to administer consequences, fitting consequences, when those rules are violated. That comes out. Both of those ideas come out in Romans 13. If you look simply at the first verse of Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There is such a thing as higher powers. And that word power in the text can be also translated very well as authority. There are higher authorities, and all whom God places under those authorities are called to submit themselves to them. These authorities, Romans 4 says, have the power to make rules and to enforce those rules. That comes out in verse 4. Verse 4 is, of course, talking specifically about the civil magistrate. The civil magistrate has the power to legislate, to make laws, but then also to enforce those laws with the sword power, to punish the lawbreaker and the evildoer and uphold order in society. That's authority. Now, we understand, of course, that the kind of rules and the kind of enforcement will differ depending on the sphere of authority. The state makes laws for the nation and has the sword power. That is the particular power that God has given to the state. Parents don't wield the sword, but in their sphere of authority, the home, they have the rod representing discipline. And in the church, there is the sphere of spiritual authority of the elders, who carry neither the rod nor the sword, but the keys of the kingdom. That's authority. The God-given right to make rules for those under authority and require obedience and enforce those rules. Now, God's will in the fifth commandment for us who are under authority is that we honor those who are in authority. Let us think for a moment. Who are the powers that be in our lives? Romans 13 says, those powers that be are ordained of God. God has put them above you. And now he calls you, he calls me, to honor them. The Catechism explains what the fifth commandment means when it says, honor father and mother and all who are in authority by extension. And the Catechism unpacks several elements of this honoring. The Catechism says we are to honor, to love, to show fidelity, and to submit to with due obedience, patiently bearing with their weaknesses. Let's go through those elements a moment. First, honoring. What does it mean to honor? To honor is to show respect. We respect those who are in authority. Even if the person in authority is not the most respectable person, we respect them for their position's sake because God put them there. We show respect in the way we talk about that authority figure. We don't tear them down. We recognize that they are put in that position by God. We talk about them in a way that upholds the honor of their office. We respect, we show honor, we show deference to those in authority. But also we are to love them, the Catechism explains. Love is a earnest desire and a determined effort to do good to someone. That is what love is at its heart. And so to love those who are in authority means you seek, desire their good, and you do what you can to do them good. Not all the authority figures in our lives will be those who we love or even know personally. However, we are called to seek their good. We are also called to show fidelity to them. What does that mean? Fidelity is faithfulness or loyalty. That means we don't deal falsely with those who are in authority over us. We're honest, we're trustworthy, we're reliable. We cheerfully comply with the rules and regulations that they make for us. We submit with due obedience. Verse 1 of Romans 13 speaks to that. Let all be subject to the higher powers. That is, let all submit themselves. To submit is to willingly place yourself beneath one who is in authority and abide by the rules and laws that they make. We are called to submit. And that begins with an attitude in the heart. We look at that authority figure as put there by God, and so we put ourselves beneath them for God's sake. All of these ideas then come to visible expression in obedience. Honoring, loving, showing fidelity, and submitting come to visible manifestation then in due obedience to those that God has put in authority over us. We obey. We obey even when we don't agree with the decisions that those authority figures make. We obey as long as what they tell us to do is not in conflict with the Word of God. In that case, we obey God rather than man. But now let us apply this basic idea of authority and our calling to honor authority. Let us apply it to the different spheres of authority in our own lives, the authority relationships in which we live. And there are four main authority relationships. In the first place, there is the most fundamental authority relationship of parents to their children. The authority relationship in the home. This one is fundamental. This is where authority and respect for authority is first learned. Children learn to honor authority in the home. And so there's a word of God for you children here in the home. Here, who are yet in your parents' homes. God specifically addresses you in the fifth commandment, and he says, honor dad and mom. Show them respect, love them, be faithful to them, submit to them, and obey them. Children, dad and mom are the powers that be in your life. They are the ones God has put over you and whom God uses for your good. And so this is your calling. Pay attention. You are to honor dad and mom. That means you show respect to them by listening to them when they talk to you, and by receiving their good instruction when they teach you, and their correction when they have to discipline you for doing something wrong. You show respect to them by talking to them in a good and respectful way, not talking back. And you show respect to them by not talking bad about them behind their backs. Perhaps when you're with your friends. Respect mom and dad. And love mom and dad. Seek their good. When you do your chores, when you do things they tell you to do, what should be in your heart, children? It should be love. I want to do this for dad and for mom because I love them. I want to do them good. And ultimately because I want to obey God, who rules me through them. Show fidelity to dad and mom. Children, remember what fidelity is? It means faithfulness, being trustworthy, being reliable, being honest. dad or mom tells you to do something, you do it. And you do it to the best of your ability. You don't try to get around it. Do as little as you can. Cut corners. Be faithful. Be reliable. Be trustworthy. That's the first sphere of authority. Parents to children. And that's the calling to children who are under the authority of their parents. Honor, love, submit. Obey dad and mom. But now there's a second sphere of authority to call our attention to, and that is the authority of office bearers in the church. God has instituted the special offices in the church as the ecclesiastical powers that be. And he calls the membership of the church to honor, to love, to show fidelity to submit, and to obey the office bearers of the church according to the word of God. That means, beloved, respect your office bearers for their work's sake, as 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 13 tells us. Respect them in the way that you talk about them, the way you talk about the decisions that they make, even if you might not like those decisions. Respect and show them love by listening to them when they come to you with admonition or correction or instruction in family visitation or in some other way. Hear them. Welcome them. Receive their good instruction and correction, and yes, bear patiently with their weaknesses. Like all those whom God puts in authority, they are mere human beings. They have many weaknesses. They have sins too. Our calling is to bear patiently with them for God's sake. The home, the church. Third, there is the authority of the civil government over the citizens of a country. Our calling, and all of us are under the authority of the civil government, our calling is to show respect, love, fidelity, submission, and obedience to our civil government. From the lowest of the government functionaries to the very top, the governor, senators, president, and so forth. This is one area of honoring authority where in our American society, we're pretty easygoing about our obedience to God's commandment. It's very easy to barely blink an eye when people trash talk the civil authorities. Of course, many of the civil authorities are people we don't find very respectable. But nonetheless, God's calling is honor those in authority. Not for their own sake, but because God has put them there. And so, the application of this commandment to us is we must be very careful about the way we speak about those who are in a position of civil authority, even if we don't like them, even if we don't like their policies, even if we think they're doing a wretched job. Honor them with your words. Seek their good. Be a trustworthy citizen. Honor those in authority. Fourth and finally, these spheres of authority in our life, there is the sphere of the employer and the employee. You can find this in the Bible in a passage such as Colossians 3, verses 22 through 23. The Bible describes this relationship as the relationship of a master and a servant, but you translate that into modern terms and it would be employer and employee. Colossians 3, verses 22 through 23. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. God puts the employer in a certain position of authority. Your boss, your manager, whoever's in charge at the job site, in the office, in the warehouse, they are the powers that be at the job site, in the office, in the warehouse. And they have a certain authority over you in that working environment. And so the calling of the fifth commandment is respect the boss. Honor the manager. The way you speak about him, the way you speak to him, how you treat him, show him love. You seek to do him good. You don't talk behind his back. You don't undercut his business in subtle ways. You honor the boss in his position of authority. That's the first point. What God has to say to those under authority. But that is not the only thing that the fifth commandment would have us consider this morning. The fifth commandment is also God's word to those who are in authority. The fifth commandment addresses those who God places in a position of authority. And this is implied in the fact that as we read in Romans 13, all of the powers that be are ordained of God. And what that implies is this. Though there be higher powers, there is a power higher than the higher powers. There is one over them, one who has given them their authority, and that is God. In reality, all authority and all power belongs to God alone. And God utilizes that authority and power through Jesus Christ seated at his right hand, to whom all authority and power in heaven and earth has been given. And so all authority figures, they do not have that authority of themselves. They have been given it by God. And therefore, they are answerable to God for how they use that authority. God's will for those under authority is that they honor those in authority over them. God's will for those in authority is that they honor God's authority by using the authority he has given them only according to his will and according to his word. Authority figures exercise authority in strict obedience to God's authority, God's word. That means those in authority are also under authority. This means God rules how rulers rule. It means the powers that be are not powers unto themselves. It is not up to a person in authority to use his power or exercise his authority as he desires. No. He is under God's authority. And God will tell him how to use it. To ignore God's direction in his word, to seek to exercise authority or power at one's own discretion, or for one's own self-promotion, or for one's own ends, that is an abuse of authority. And the authority figure will stand before the judgment of God for that abuse. The key principle now that we want to see with regard to biblical authority and those who are in authority is that biblical authority is servant authority. It is the complete opposite of the world's conception of authority. The world conceives of authority this way. If you have authority, you are better than someone else, and you have the right to use that person however you want. It's for your own glory. It's for your own aggrandizement. And the Bible says absolutely not. If God puts you in a position of authority, he's made you a servant. You're his servant, but you are also the servant of every single person who is under your authority. When God puts a person in a position of authority, he does so in order to equip that person to minister to those who are under his authority. To be in a position of authority is to be in a position of service. This comes out in a couple of passages of Scripture. Let's look first at Romans 13, the passage we read this morning. First, verse 4. Does God describe the civil governor, the ruler, the king, the president? What does God describe that man as? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. That word minister means a servant. He is the servant of God, yes, but he is also the servant to you. He is called by God to use his authority for your good. That's what the civil magistrate must do. And that applies to all spheres of authority, as we will see in a moment. Verse 6 of Romans 13. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, servants. But the best description of biblical authority is found in Mark 10, in the words of our Savior himself. You turn to Mark 10. Mark 10, verses 43 through 45. Mark 10, verses 43 through 45. Here Jesus says this. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And now Jesus points to himself as the supreme example of this, the one to whom all authority belongs. And yet, what did he come into our flesh to do? For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. If you are in a position of authority, you have that position in order to minister and to give of yourself for the good of every single person under your authority. It's not about you. It's not for your glory. It's not so that you may be filled up with praise and adoration and glory and riches. It's rather so that you can empty yourself for the good of those to whom you minister. And thus, there is, in a very real sense, a calling for those in authority to honor, love, and show fidelity to those who are under their authority. No, not in the same way that those under authority honor, love, and show fidelity to those above them, but in this way. The one who is in authority honors the people under his authority. He respects them. He doesn't treat them as his underlings. He doesn't degrade them. He doesn't puff himself up over them. He treats them with honor. As fellow human beings, but especially in the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. The man in authority loves those who are under his authority. When he exercises his authority, it is not, how can I benefit from this? How can this be good for me? His thought is, how can I do good to those who are under my authority? God calls me to minister to them. And I'm going to spend myself to do them good. And the person in authority also shows fidelity to those who are under his authority. He doesn't betray them. He doesn't betray their trust. He is honest in his dealings with them. He is faithful. He is reliable. He cares for them consistently. That's biblical perspective on authority and what it means to be in authority. So now, as we did in the first point, let us apply this principle to the authority spheres in our own lives, the relationships of authority in our own lives. And we come back to parents. Parents, God has put you in a position of authority over your children in order to minister to them. You are God's ministers for their good. You are the powers that be in your home. But that power is not for your own glory and for your own pleasure, but to be used for the good of your children. Question and answer 104 indicates how you are to use your authority. Good instruction and good correction. That's especially how you minister to your children, by teaching them, by training them, by bringing them up, by correcting them with discipline when that discipline is needed. And it's to be good instruction and correction. That is godly, according to the Word of God. Not your own standard, not according to your emotions, not according to how you feel at the time, but according to the Word of God. You teach and train your children In life skills, yes, but above all in spiritual life skills. Leading them through the Word of God every day as the shepherds of your home. Teaching them to pray. Teaching them to come to church and to be active worshipers in the congregation. Teaching, training, bringing up your children. Parenthood. It's a position of authority, but it is especially a self-sacrificial ministry. Covenant parents, you know that. How many sacrifices are involved in raising our children? God gives you children not for your own pleasure, not for your own ease, though there is much pleasure that the Lord gives along with raising children. But God gives you children to raise for Him, according to His word, and for His glory. And as God's ministers, He requires of you much blood, sweat, and tears. So remember, parents, in the exercise of your authority in the home, you're called to use it. Don't disuse it. Don't be lax. But also don't be a tyrant in your home, thinking that your authority gives you the right to do whatever you want according to your own whim. No, have the biblical view of authority. You are God's minister to the precious covenant children God has given you. You're called to serve them by raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But now we move to the sphere of authority in the church, the office bearers. God has put office bearers in a position of authority over the church. Why? So that the office bearers may be the servants of everyone in the church. Pastor, elders, deacons, that must be how we see ourselves. We are not in our offices so that we may be honored and glorified. We are not in our offices so that the body of Christ may serve us. We are in our offices to be the servants of all. And our Lord Jesus Christ is our example here. There's much work in the offices, much hard work. Depending on the Lord's grace, leaning on Him, we must give ourselves in that work, showing honor, love, and fidelity to the precious flock over which God has put us and whom God has called us to minister. Third, civil rulers. Civil governors, government authorities, God has put them in the position of power that they hold. The calling for every person in government is to recognize himself or herself as a minister of God. Your power in government is not to be exercised according to your own political philosophy, according to your own desires or your own ideals, but the word of God. That is the standard for all civil authority. But likewise, government does not exist for itself, for its own glory, but government exists for the protection and the well-being of the citizens under it. The calling of the godly civil magistrate is to rule according to the word of God and to serve the people that that governor is over in the sphere of power where God has placed him. Fourth and finally, employers. God has put you in a position of authority too. You're the power that God has put in place at the job site, in the office. But he calls you to exercise that authority not simply to make as much money as you can, but to serve, in a real way, to serve those who are in your employ. That doesn't mean in the business world we can't be working to get a profit. We have to. But it does mean that we care for our employees. We're fair. We're just. We look out for their good. We reject the cutthroat world of worldly business. And we treat our employees with Christian love, not as disposable tools for our own enrichment. Sometimes that requires sacrifices, personal sacrifices, for the good of the men and women in our employ. Whatever our position of authority is, let this biblical principle be your guide. I am God's servant, given authority by God, and that authority is to be used to serve every single person under my authority. We've seen the calling of the fifth commandment for those under authority and those in authority. Now let us see the motivation for both of them. The motivation is stated at the end of answer 104. Since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. That's the motive. For those under authority, why do we submit? Why do we obey? Why do we honor, love, and show fidelity to those in authority over us? Especially when it's hard because we don't like them, or we feel like they're making bad decisions, or they're not very nice. All the other reasons why we might resist this calling. What motivates us to still honor that authority, that truth? The powers that be are ordained of God. God is pleased to use that person. Even if that person is not very respectable, God is still pleased at this time in my life to use that person to rule and govern me. That's my motive. I submit and obey for God's sake, because God is using that person as his instrument. God uses them to rule, to guide, and to care for us. And therefore, we must honor, love, show fidelity, submit, and obey God by submitting and obeying the authorities God has placed in our life. It's all about God. And that's the key, especially when it's hard to submit and obey authority. The key is looking past that man or that woman and looking at God. So children, why ultimately must you obey dad and mom? The number one reason is God put them over you. And God governs you, rules you, leads you, guides you, raises you, teaches you through them. Obey dad and mom, because in doing so, you obey God. Members of the church, why do you submit to your office bearers? Why do you honor them? Because God is pleased to use them as his under shepherds. Honor them for God's sake. And the same goes for the civil government. The same goes for the employer that's over you. Honor them. In doing so, you honor God. But there's another dimension to the motivation. It's not only that God rules them, rules us through them, and therefore we want to show honor to God by honoring the authority, but the spiritual principle in our hearts is the principle of gratitude. Gratitude for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thankfulness for Jesus' obedience. Jesus' obedience is what saved us. And think about it. If there was ever a man for whom it would be hard to submit and obey, it would be Jesus. The sinless one, perfectly righteous, who came into our flesh, laid aside his divine privileges, came into our flesh, was subject to all of the ailments and the weaknesses and the illnesses and the pains of our flesh. But not only that, he took all of the guilt of our sins upon himself and bore the wrath of God. And all the while, he perfectly submitted to the Father's will. He perfectly fulfilled the demands of God's law. He obeyed perfectly, never swerving to the left or to the right. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to redeem unsubmissive, disobedient sinners like you and me. Christ's obedience saved us. And now, out of gratitude to that obedience of Christ for us, it is a small thing for God to require of us that we submit and obey the human authorities he puts over us. look to God and look to Christ, there's your motivation. But now for those in authority. The motivation is the same. If you are in a position of authority, you read that last phrase in answer 104 and you go, wow, God Himself is using me to govern those who are under my authority. I better represent my God well. I better take extra care and diligence that I exercise my authority only in harmony with God's word, so that I do not misrepresent the God who uses me, and so that I do not abuse the authority that He has given me. God governs and cares for them through me. That's an awesome responsibility. And that motivates me to be faithful, to be diligent, to exercise that authority according to the will of God. As an authority, I see myself only as God's instrument. And my prayer is that He will use me for the good of those whom He has placed under me. But for the person in authority, also the deep principle, the deep motivation is also gratitude. Gratitude to Jesus. God has saved me through Jesus Christ. God has plucked me from sin and death, and now He has given me this high calling to be His minister, to be His servant for the good of others. I will show my thankfulness to God. I will show my thankfulness to God for His salvation by exercising my authority only according to His word for the good of the people under me and for the glory of the God above me. The motivation is the same for those under authority and for those in authority. So, people of God, let us all, whether under or in authority, let us all honor Jehovah's authority by obeying the authority He has placed over us and by using the authority that He has given us for His glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt use the instruction of Thy fifth commandment to strengthen our faith and to strengthen our resolve to walk in the way that Thou dost call us to live in Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt strengthen us to submit and to obey the authorities that Thou dost place over us. And we pray that Thou wilt strengthen us whom Thou hast given authority, to use that authority rightly, according to Thy word, for the good of Thy people and for the glory of Thy name. Bless our congregation, even as we have worshipped in an unusual way and heard Thy word in an unusual way, remotely over the internet. We pray that that word may still work in our hearts, feed our faith, and strengthen us, and give us rest this Sabbath day. Bless us and keep us in Thy care, and hear our prayer for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.